Welcome back to another episode of Three Guys in a White Coat, the podcast where me, Matt, and Mike give you our insights on the pathway to becoming a medical student. In today's episode, we've got a little bit of an add-on today because we received an email from one of our listeners asking a specific question about their own path while they're in college. Mike, do you want to go ahead and read that email for us?
Sure, let's do it. So this is the question we got. So they started off very kindly. They addressed me, not you two. Thank you very much.
We all know I'm the most important. Well, you know how easy it is? You just put another name in there and you cover both of us.
Moving on.
You could just do that like times two. So this is what they said. They said, "Hey, Mike, hope med school is going well. My second semester is going really great so far. They're in their undergraduate degree, for those of you that don't know. And I've just declared my chem major, and I'm in orgo right now, and I'm loving it. But I'm also in bio 1, and it's boring as hell. I've recently began to question whether or not I actually want to stay pre-med and go to med school at all. I can't stand my bio class, and I realize there's a lot of bio in medicine. Chemistry is just so fascinating to me, and I'm not sure if medicine will have as much chem involved as I would like. I recently spoke with my professors in the chem department about what else I could do with a chem degree aside from med school. They mentioned I could do research, pharmaceuticals, academia, etc., and those all sound really promising to me and very exciting. I figured I'd email you guys and ask about your undergrad experience. Did you go through something similar, i.e. hating bio or some subject that was required for the MCAT or medical school? How did you know you wanted to go to med school? Any insight would be greatly appreciated. Thanks."
All right.
That's a great question. And I think that's a very high question is across the minds of anyone who's ever been pre-med in undergrad. Just, is this the right path for me?
It's very common, especially when you start looking at, how long medical school is. You know, you don't want to get halfway through and realize it isn't for you. I think we've all kind of had that experience in undergrad, definitely.
I'd say even still today, sometimes you think about it. I mean, you always hope this is what you want to do, but there's times when things are boring. Like right now, we're in metabolism, and personally, I am not enjoying metabolism whatsoever. And I'm not gonna lie, it's made me question sometimes, is this really what I want to do? But you have to remember that all the other courses that we've done so far, I've found really enjoying and exciting. So there's always gonna be those times where you're gonna question this kind of stuff, and I personally think it's completely okay.
Sure. Yeah. And I think the other thing that can sometimes be a little bit daunting for people that are in undergraduate right now and looking at pre-med is the fact that you kind of do have to go all in for it. And I know that the idea of choosing I chose a biochemistry degree in undergrad because I thought that would best prepare me for medical school. Not because that I wanted to do something biochemistry related as a career outside of medicine, which, in my opinion, was not wise. I think that you should really choose the major that you want in college based on something you could see as a career, because as our own medical school class shows, you can have just about any major and still fulfill the requirements to become eligible for med school admission. However, the fact that you do something you enjoy not only brings a little bit of a safety net to yourself, but it also brings you a lot of diversity when applying to medical school. Rather than saying, I'm science, you can say, I am a mathematics major, or I studied...
I'm a principal or a teacher.
Right. And I think that sometimes that can even strengthen your application because you bring a different perspective from a different viewpoint into the medical school class.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about this a lot in the previous episodes, and I'm going to echo what Matt said too. I was a biology major. I have no idea what I would be doing right now if I wasn't in med school. I didn't want to go into research. I didn't want to do academia. I didn't want to teach. So I completely echo what Matt's saying. Don't do something because you think it's going to be it's going to look best. Do something that you actually really enjoy. But I will say, excuse me, I don't know where I was going with that, actually.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is you have to, and it takes a very large degree of introspection and self-awareness to be able to say, this is what I want to do for the next 40 to 60 years of my life at the age of 19, 20, whatever.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, don't know if I told you guys this, but I actually called him and talked to him about this. And one of the things that I described, that I talked to him about, was I think personally it's really hard, even if you're having those feelings right now, to just like totally leave this behind and pursue something completely different. I talked to him about, you know, I would keep it on the back burner right now. You know, you never know what your next class is going to bring. Biology, it can be kind of boring. Like when you're doing the ecology portion of all this stuff and you're not like really in the nitty gritty of the actual science, it can get kind of tedious. And yeah. I don't really blame anyone for not liking that. But I think it's kind of hard if you decide to stop now, like as you're a freshman, and then you don't do the volunteering, you don't do the research, you don't do the clinical hours, you don't do all the things that we've been talking to you guys about for the MCAS application. It's hard to bring that back and then be ready to apply right out of college if that's what you want to do. But I think it's completely normal. I think you should contemplate it. I think it's kind of foolish if you don't think about other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like we've seen in all of our med school interviews, like they want to know that you've contemplated this. They want to know that you've maybe tried something different and then by process of elimination said, no, this is where I'm supposed to go. And there are people out there for sure. For those of you out there that are listening that like woke up one day and your parents said like you held a stethoscope and you said, Mama, Dada, I'm going to be a doctor. Like, yeah, like there are people out there that do that and that's totally fine. But I think it is far more common to actually kind of wrestle with this and think about it. Like, I know personally, like, I thought about that for sure when I was going through this whole process.
Well, I was a pharmacy major until I was in my junior year of college. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I think I kind of agree with you, Mike. I think when people start getting into these general, like, bio classes, like cell bio, I think there may be this, like, misconception that, like, oh, that's, like, medicine is going to be focused a lot around that. And we kind of went through that, too, with our first class, like, the MCBG cell biogenetics class. Like, we had to get through it.
You're going
to
need
You're going to need it. But, like, if you were to, like, ask me a question on the exam right now from, like, the final exam, like, no way would I know what it is. Like, that's not what you're going to be focused on all the time. It's more the patient aspect of everything.
For, like, boards and stuff, like, you're going to need it.
But, yeah.
Like, when it comes to the day when you are a practicing physician, like, I was talking to Jorge about this today on the basketball court, like, you know, we were talking about, like, when you prescribe something to someone someday, are you going to sit down with that patient and go, and here's the mechanism for how this works. This does this and increases cyclic AMP, and cyclic AMP goes and turns this thing on, and this thing goes and phosphorylates that. No, you're, like, you're probably not going to do that, but you do need to have that information in the back of your brain of how it works.
Or you're going to look it up. That's what I tell Vikram all the time. You guys might remember Vikram. I think he was on a couple episodes ago, but he loves metabolism. I frankly don't care about metabolism, and he tries to get me all interested in it. And I
and he tries.
Like, he tries. He tries very hard. And I just finally told him, I said, Vikram, I'm sorry. I don't care what happens to protein in our body. If I need to know it, I'll look it up. But I'm not that worried about it right now.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it is a good thing to have all this knowledge in your head. And you know, there are times when, as practicing physicians, one day we're going to be thinking about the mechanism, but we know that we're never going to try and explain that mechanism to our patients. However, you know, going back to the question that was on the email, I think when you look at things like, I'm taking a bio class, I really hate, you know, I'm taking... for a lot of people, I think the big hurdles to, you know, the pre-med track is organic chemistry or biochemistry, because those are tough courses. Yeah, physics.
Physics for the MCAT, for sure.
Right. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've used organic chemistry in med school so far.
I need to know what a reductase is.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing is... Not to put to shame any or not to say anything against the material that you learn in those classes, but I think that there is something that comes from testing a student's mind in undergrad of taking hard concepts that they may not like and being able to have the dedication and put in the time to do it, regardless of whether you like it or not. Same thing that we're all doing with metabolism right now, other than Vikram. and the same things that we may experience someday as physicians. There may be a patient that we don't particularly get along with. Maybe they're difficult. Maybe that they're
They're not following what you're telling them to
exactly,
do.
Exactly. They're not
come
compliant.
Back the same thing, and you're doing everything you can, but you still need to be able to do it. You need to be able to have that skill of pressing forward even when times are hard or when it's not something that you're like totally interested in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that degree of mental toughness, the idea of just, you know, this is what is going to happen. I'm going to do this because this is a part of the journey that is my life right now.
So I actually have a question for you guys then, if you don't mind me interrupting. Cause I think like one of the hardest things is knowing that like it does get better and trying to work past it. Do you guys remember a specific point in either undergrad or maybe like our first semester where you guys thought like, I can't do it, but like, I don't want to do this. I'm not interested in it. And then what did you guys do to get past that?
I think for me, the first time that when I was an undergrad, I really didn't have that. I mean, like we've talked about my path before. Like I didn't really even know I wanted to go to medical school until I transferred to Northeastern. Then I went there. Like I didn't think I had the capability to do it. And then when I got to Northeastern, I kind of like realized my grades were competitive enough that I could. So all throughout college, I never really questioned that. Mine was more so after the MCAT, like the first time I took it and I didn't get a score that I was too proud of. That was the first time where I was like, okay, Mike, we got to go back and we got to do this again. And we got to do pretty good this time. Do we really want to do this? And for me, I think it really came down to getting back into the clinic. Like we've talked about before, like Dr. O was one of my great mentors. And I think the best thing he did was tell me to go back into the clinic, work with patients directly, figure out what it is about them that I want to be a part of, and also to be around all the different healthcare professionals and kind of see like, you know, who do I chum with? Who do I hang out with? Am I with the nurses all the time? Which I was, because I was a tech, so like I loved my nurses. But like,
just so you guys know, he always refers to the nurses as my nurses.
They are not my nurses. It's just
Mike has ownership of the nurses.
I do not own. If any of the nurses that I worked with are out there listening, I do not speak like I own you.
It's
not true. But I would say that working in that environment was kind of like where I rediscovered it. It was more of, who do I interact with more? Who do my personality, does my like my thought process most jive with? And that's kind of how I came down to my decision. And that's what I told this guy, the guy that I talked to. I was like, you need to go work with people. Unless you want to do like an MD, PhD, or like you see yourself like in a more research side at some point, you got to know if you want to be with people, because working with people is not an easy thing to do. And not everybody loves it, and not everybody has the capability to sit there and talk to someone for 15, 20 minutes on end.
I think that's big, especially between research and medicine. Like, do you want to work with people, or do you want to kind of be behind the scenes but still have that aspect of medicine?
Yeah, and I think that's I mean, obviously it's a very huge thing. And I think it's a very good point that Mike's brought up. I know that I do this currently in med school. Whenever I'm feeling discouraged, or if I'm feeling a little bit, you know, stressed out from all the academics that we're currently bogged down in, I go shadow
metabolism.
Someone. Yeah, no, but I go shadow someone, and I shadow a physician, and I know I get to say that because I'm a med student, and that doorway is a little bit more open for us
rather than
the people in undergrad. But for me, that recenters and resets my perspective on the reason why I'm in this class currently learning, you know, 500 enzymes, blah, 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 is because at the end of the day, I want to be the person that comes to the side of the patient's bed and gives them hope and lets them know that I know what I'm talking about. I learned all this so that I can help you. Not that they need to know the mechanisms, but that we do. We learn those so that we have the ability and the knowledge to go ahead and use that to help them with whatever they're in there for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, as an undergraduate, I know that those roles are harder, but you can find
some stuff, though.
Yeah, you can find some similar experiences when you volunteer. You know, if you volunteer any sort of act of service or any sort, and it doesn't even have to be medically related, because,
like we've talked about, like we've told you guys, you don't have to do everything medical.
Right. And the thing is like, being a physician is kind of a lifelong dedication to service, in the fact that you are going to be there for the patients every day. And there are going to be patients that are mean. There are going to be patients that are angry. There are going to be patients that are non-compliant. But at the end of the day, you're going to do that because it's in the best interest for them.
Yeah. And some things, like, I know you just said that it can be hard for them to go shadow physicians and stuff. But for all you guys out there listening, if you're in undergrad right now, you have your pre-med advisors. You have your pre-med club. I'm sure that they are putting on events where they have physicians or med students or someone coming in and talking to you. I'm tantalized as I watched DeYoung pour his beer.
He didn't spill it on himself this time.
Yeah. We got quick tangent. We had Pipe Works is a big brewery out here, and they put out this really rare beer that we've been waiting for since I moved out here.
Ditto.
And I can't wait to open mine when I get home tonight.
I will say to
drink responsibly if you're of age.
Yeah, well, that too. Going back to the questions, I will say too, like Mike, you talked about like pre-med advisors, even like shadow your primary care provider, like shadow your doc, shadow your like specialist. Like that's what I did. I shadowed like three of my like physicians, like my doctors while I was in undergrad because A, they know who you are, and it's an easy way to get in and go to the clinic.
One of the guys that I shadowed, I was shadowing an ortho surgeon. And I actually tore a ligament in my knee playing soccer the day before I was supposed to go shadow him again. And I came in and I was like, Dr. Zork, at the end of the day, can we take a look at my knee? And he actually ended up doing my surgery like a month later. And then I came in and shadowed him after the surgery. So
that's funny.
Sometimes it just works out like that. But
yeah.
You don't need to go tear a ligament in your knee.
No, you have to go tear a ligament. But like, go to the events that your college puts on for you. And if you're at a high school and you don't have access to this kind of stuff, if you have a local college nearby, see if you can reach out to someone. Obviously, do it appropriately and make sure you know what you're talking about and have someone proofread what you send them. But I can't imagine them saying that if you were a senior in high school and you wanted to go to like some event that the college by you was having for their pre-med students, why you couldn't go listen to them talk at least.
Yeah, and I agree with what Mike said is the idea that, you know, and what Matt said about shadowing the doctor that you go see in the clinic, you know, like you go for a physical or something, you get a checkup, you can ask that person, be bold but be respectful. Be bold and say, I'm interested in medicine.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any idea how I could shadow just so I can recenter my perspective or how to get, and I can almost guarantee you that every physician that you see will remember the fact that they did that, that they asked someone out of their comfort zone one time and they were like, can I shadow you? You know, and so therefore,
please, sir, please, can I shadow you for a little bit of time, please?
Exactly. And they're going to have that perspective.
Yeah, everyone's been there.
Yeah. So I think it's a really good way to recenter yourself when you're getting bogged down in a certain class. But again, going back to the email that we received, I think what Mike said earlier is very important, is that you should absolutely have to challenge your decision to choose medicine at some point in your pathway, because otherwise you will lack the perspective of having another choice and you won't have something that you're pitting it against.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember in psych the course that we took where I forget what physician it was? He talked to us about like the four areas of life that you can like land in. Like,
oh yeah,
didn't try, didn't pick, picked but didn't try, all that kind of stuff. So like, there's this whole chart where like it talks about like as an adolescent where you have to try different hats and then eventually you pick the one that fits you and that's how you're the happiest. And if you don't try other things and you just pick blindly, you might end up in a situation that you didn't like. And I think whenever I think of this question, I go back to that psychology or like adolescent development concept of, I just think that you need to experience different things to make sure that this is what you want to do.
Absolutely. And I think like, speaking from personal experience, during my gap year, I did a lot of research and, I also met a friend of mine who was in the process of being a biomedical engineer and getting their master's degree in that, which the more I heard them talk about it, the cooler it sounded. Mm-hmm. They were developing a probe that looks at cancer tissue inside of a patient during the surgery. It gives you real-time access.
Oh, we talked about this.
Yeah. And so I think, so for example, when I received my acceptance to medical school at Loyola, I also had an acceptance to a master's in biomedical engineering program, and I was interviewing for a PhD in immunology program.
Really? I didn't know that.
I was, actually.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be a double doctor.
That's a lot.
Double
of,
doctor.
It's a lot of doctoring. But that was the thing, is I looked at all these options, and again, it came down to the basis of being a biomedical engineer would be really cool, and being able to develop those things that doctors are using to help patients. At the same time, I want to be the doctor that uses the cool stuff with the patients. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the immunology is it's really cool to learn all that science and to be able to make the drugs that have an impact on somebody's health. But as a researcher, you need a physician liaison in order to even have a chance at making that a clinical advantage for a patient. Mm-hmm. And I want to be that liaison to help with bridge the gap between the research and the clinical part.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, it came down to those three amazing opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I consider myself extremely lucky to have that. But, you know, you look at all those and you know, at the end of the day, this is what I want, because I want to be with the people. I want to be next to them. I want to be in the mud with them. Mm-hmm. And I want to help them through that.
And you won't always want that. Like, there will be times where it tries you, but, you know, that you made that choice because that's what you want to do 85 to 95% of the time.
Yeah.
I think.
And I will say a lot of it does go back to undergrad too. Like, we've kind of been talking about, like, just get through it, like, it's going to get better. But, like, if you really don't like biology, like, if you get through the first year's worth of biology and you just don't like any of it, then don't, I mean, I kind of agree with Mike, like, keep doing volunteering, see where it leads you, but don't have your mind set on that.
Yeah, I would say one thing to all of you listening is don't be scared to make the change if that's what you decide to do. A lot of times I felt like I had friends in undergrad who, I felt like I knew that medicine wasn't in their heart anymore. Like, it's not what they wanted to go towards anymore. But whenever you talk to them, they would say, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, da, da, da. And I feel like it was more of they were afraid to say that they didn't want to do it anymore. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
It is your life. You are living it for yourself, and you're only going to get to do it once. So if you want to make a choice and you want to go be a monster truck driver instead, go for it. Totally fine. Yeah, Matt's raising his hand that he wants to. But one thing to go back towards the email. What did you guys think about him saying that he was thinking about exploring all of these other things, like the academia, the pharmaceuticals, all that kind of stuff? Because, like, I think you should totally do that. Because it's not guaranteed that you get to this point.
Yeah, I think that's probably something that a lot, at least I did. I mean, definitely with research, like, worked from research for 5 years and finally, like, realized that I didn't want to do that. So I think, you know, I kind of agree with Mike was saying, like, some people don't have their mind set on medicine. Like, if you can answer the question, like, why do you want to be a doctor without saying, like, I want to help people, if you can figure out an answer for that question and, like, it's genuine, then yeah, explore it. But I think, like Mike said, you have to look at a lot of different pathways. Like, some of these pathways that I don't even know existed until, like, mm-hmm. I got to medicine and heard of someone that did that. And I was like, oh, that actually sounds really cool. Like, I wish I would have explored that a little more.
If anyone's curious out there why we're not talking about why we chose medicine, it's because we have a podcast coming up where we're going to talk about our personal statements, where that is, like, the whole highlight of that one. So we don't want to really waste that time here now. So in case you guys are curious as to why we're not answering that specific part of the question, that will be coming in the future podcast when we get to the personal statement. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, and I do want to touch on the fact that the person who emailed us, they talked about the fact that maybe along this the journey that they're on right now, they decide not to do medicine. Mm-hmm. And I know that selecting a pre-med track, often you have to go all in for it. And if you decide that you don't want to do that your junior year or your senior year, there are options and there are things that you can do. Like, if so I know, like, Matt talked about, like, you got a biology degree but you had no intention of working in a lab.
No way.
Mike, I don't know about your experience with
like I said in the pilot that hopefully you guys have all listened to at this point, it would have been the end of my biology degree. That's literally exactly word for word what I said in the podcast. I probably would have gone back to the Y where I've been working with the kids, because it wouldn't have been the service part of it that I didn't enjoy. It just would have been medicine wouldn't have been what I've wanted at that point.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So I think the thing is while you guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously motivated about trying to get to medical school. But I do also want to recommend or advise you that you do have a plan B in the back of your head. You have something in your pocket that in case things go wrong, in case you change your mind at some point in your life, you are able to have something that still fulfills you and makes you happy in life.
And it's okay to change your mind too. Yeah. I think like Matt was saying, like if it feels like an all-in path. Like it really does when you, because you hear about bio majors and like, I want to do pre-med. And it is, but like to be a biology, have a biology degree or biochemistry degree, whatever, and not do medicine, a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay to change your mind.
And I do feel that there is some sort of stigma about, you know, saying I'm pre-med, but then your sophomore year, you're not pre-med anymore. Everybody's going to ask, you know, why are you think it's too hard? It's too hard. It's not that it's too, but it has to
pique your interest.
Yeah, exactly. And for some people, having one of those, you know, those, what do you call it, weed out classes, like organic chemistry or something, that's enough to say, you know what, that's not for me, I want to do something else. And I have plenty of my friends who we started pre-med together freshman year in college, but by, you know, sophomore, junior year, they were in different tracks. And I can tell you right now, they are all extremely happy with the decision they made, especially after looking at what I'm currently going through. You know, they have jobs, they have salaries, they're doing all this. That's great. Mm-hmm. I ask them every day. They were telling me something about like a, you know, like investing, and I don't know if they have, you know.
Oh, did you guys download the Robinhood app yet?
Yeah. I did. I have it. I need to do that. But
can I use my Grad Plus loan for that?
You can. It's highly advised against.
Okay.
but you totally can. The Grad Plus loan is what we use to basically sustain ourselves while we're in medical school right now, for those of you that don't know. When you apply to college or when you're in college and you have your Fed loans and all that stuff, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so I think at the end of the day, you need to know why you're doing medicine. You need to know when you're, you know, like for me, it was the nights where I was walking back to my dorm room from like the basement study dungeon, you know, at like 3 a.m. walking through a hallway completely alone, knowing like, why am I doing this? You know, like, why am I going to bed, you know, getting like 4 hours of sleep all for this? And I think the really come to God moment for me was, is like my junior year when I was taking way too many credits and I should have been trying to balance the MCAT studying at the same time. I think it was 3 a.m. taking a cold shower with a Red Bull in hand, trying to like stay awake and study. And that was
I'd have a heart attack if I did that.
I think I really looked at myself in the mirror and was like,
sorry, myocardial infarction.
You need to balance yourself a little bit better. You need to like figure out where your priorities are. But there will be times that you question everything. And I encourage you to take those trying times and really seek out the answers that you're asking the questions to, because that is the way that you will strengthen your decision to choose medicine. And I think that every time you come to a crossroads and you're able to find the answer, whether that's within yourself or within supplementary sources, and you can answer that question, you become that much more stronger and that much more convicted, and you have that much more to talk about in applications, in interviews.
Yeah, you got to talk about this stuff. You got to have someone, whether it's a friend at college, at your high school, your mom, your dad, your best friend, your dog, I don't care who it is, whoever will listen to you. You got to have someone that you can talk to and like soundboard this stuff off of and make sure that what you're doing makes sense. Because you're, I mean, if you have a best friend, like they're going to tell you if like you're being honest with yourself. If they look at you and they're like, dude, you are not happy right now. Like, you have been miserable for the last 2 years. What are you doing? You might want to think about it and just make sure. And that's why I think one of the most important things that I'm glad that this person's professor has told them is about the other options that they have. Because I think you should pursue those. I think that you should talk to a pharmacy tech, pharmacist. Like, talk to these people. Figure out what those paths are. Give yourself all the options. Why make a blind decision when you could have all the options in front of you and pick the one that makes the most sense for you personally?
And you don't have to make that decision now. Like, what, right. It was a second semester freshman year, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to make, like I said, I didn't make the decision until junior year. Like, you have time. And especially if you are looking at, like, pharmacy, if you are interested in academia, research, like, all the, like, biotech, all those things, a lot of the classes that you're going to take in the first couple years are more than likely going to overlap.
Do summer internships.
Yeah. And if, like, you're not going to be behind, like, I know that's one thing that scared me, like, being behind switching. You're, like, you're not going to be behind because a lot of the like gen chem, orgo, physics, they're going to be required for anything right. science related that you want to do.
Yeah. One thing before I forget, because I've been trying to remember what I was going to say earlier and I just finally remembered. If you pursue medical school and you give it all you got and you still don't get in, your resume is still going to be probably really, really good to get you into some other kind of experience that you want. Like, you're going to have all this research, all this volunteering, all these other experiences, these internships that don't look at this as like a lost cause. If I hadn't gone into medical school this year, I could have easily have taken my resume and gone somewhere else with it. Because it's not like I don't have anything to show for what I did. You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
I agree.
I think you're touching on a very important topic, and it's the fact, Matt, you were alluding to this a second ago as well, is you don't... In the grand scheme of things, one gap year, two gap years, three gap years, whatever. If medicine is the route you want to go, you'll get there, you know. And if it's not, it's not for you. But I think the thing is you shouldn't.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know what the hell that noise was. No, it was my throat.
Oh, interesting.
You guys want to do a quick HPI on me?
Yeah, really. But I guess like the gist of it is. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years is really short.
It is in the grand scheme of things.
When you think, and I know that there's so much pressure to jump straight from college into medical school, or you know, even from medical school into residency, there is so much time, and it's honestly in your best interest to take that gap year, to take those two gap, to take those three or four gap years, whatever it takes to make sure you set yourself up for the life that you want to live for the next 60 years.
Yeah, that's true.
We talk about that with school too.
Sacrifice like, now to live a champion the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, like with like residency programs too, we talk about that. Like don't do something because it's going to be the shortest amount of time. Do something that you're actually going to like for the next 40 years.
Right. And I think the scary one that you see in residency is you see people that are applying for competitive surgery things and you know, oh, they don't get it. They have to spend a year doing research or something to make themselves more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
1 year in comparison to doing 40 years of something that you're not fully committed to is nothing. And it's so hard for us to see that now, but I guarantee you that one day we'll be able to say that and believe it.
No, agree.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
So I guess my thing to this too is if you're hating these courses, just give it some time. Wait till you get into some to like the more advanced classes. Like you can take immunology in undergrad and you should if you want to go to medical school, because if you learn immunology for the first time like I am right now,
you could probably tutor us right now.
It we is
all greatly appreciate
kind of hard. So I would say take some courses that are a little more advanced if you want to get that experience. Take a neurobiology course. Take psychobiology, take some like advanced sociology, psychology course, like get yourself into those classes.
I will say though, if you don't like it, don't let that discourage you though. Like I don't think any of us are here because we love like cell bio. Or because like we love like maybe that's just me. Matt
you don't know
really
me.
Likes the mitochondria.
Get out of my head, Sam. Like, get out of my head.
That's why he's in medical school. I can't say I'm here because like I love learning about mitochondria. Like we're here because we want to like be with people. We want to interact with people, try and make their lives better.
But I would caution that a little bit. Like if you're really not enjoying those courses at that point, like.
Oh man, I hated cell bio.
Right, but I think what Mike's saying is true. Is if you have to. Granted, Matt, we're gonna have to grit your teeth through one or two classes.
Yeah, like metabolism.
Oh, 100%, 100%, 100%.
Sure, and especially in undergrad, you're gonna have to grit your teeth and get through one, two, or three classes. But I think that what Mike is saying is that when you get to that, you're gritting your teeth through three, four, or five classes. Maybe that's not the
pathway. Yeah, I agree with that.
If you're gritting your teeth all the way to the degree. Like by the time like you're like sitting waiting for them to call your name to go get your diploma, you're like, oh my god, do I really want this? Is this really what I want to do? Am I sure? Like you probably should have made a little left turn when you made a right at some point. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah,
and I think and don't let anyone pressure you into doing medicine. Don't let don't think that because your dad's a physician, your mom's a physician, your uncle, whatever. Don't let that be the reason that you want to do medicine. Do medicine because don't do it for the money, because there's a whole another podcast of information about that. And don't do it for, you know,
the prestige. Did we record that one yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I don't think I edited that one.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, you have to do it, like Matt said, for the people that you're going to take care of someday, because that is the only motivation that is strong enough to get you through the things you have to get through.
Yeah, no, I agree.
My uncle, who's a physician, always said, you never go into medicine because you're going to make money. He's like, you want to make money, you go into business.
Yeah.
Like, to the whole point of, like, your parents, like, don't do it for your parents, all stuff. I still think it's hysterical that, like, when I was getting ready for the MCAT and all that stuff, and, like, I was, like, really in the hardcore part of it, my parents would be getting ready. My parents live a very active social life. They have a lot of friends. They always go and do stuff. They always leave me at home.
What's that like?
We have a pretty active social life. I mean, we had med prom last. Oh, we'll save that for the end. We're going to tell you guys about some stuff that's been going on.
Okay.
But, like, my parents would literally come and, like, knock on the door and be like, hey, we're going to go out now. Are you going to, you gonna stay in here, buddy? They'd be like, yeah, mom, I got to get through a few more of these things. Then, like, I might go meet up with the guys later, but I'll be home, like, early. I got to get up and do a practice test. My wife goes, okay, you don't have to do this. we won't be mad at you. And I was like, no, I know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. She's like, okay, I just want to make sure that, you know, that we love you no matter what. And if you don't want to do this, I wouldn't blame you because I would not. And, like, I think that that's important that you, like, you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that your parents don't, like, force you into it and, like, give you that leeway. And that way, when it comes to the end of the day and you've put it all in, it's all for you.
Like, yeah.
And your future patients. And your future patients.
Yeah. So I think that's a good conclusion to it. Like, do medicine for yourself. And at the same time, understand that there are going to be things that you don't like. Things that you may have to struggle through because, guess what? We're not good at everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. There's still things that we don't like.
Sure. I don't know PFK1. I don't know what inhibits
still things
it.
We don't like.
I'm going to try my best to learn it. I'm going to try to learn what inhibits the gastrin cells and all that stuff. The gastrin is the peptide or whatever that comes out.
Like you're in trouble.
Of the, what cell does that come out of?
Gastrin?
The G
cell.
The G cell. Oh, wow. G for G.
Yeah. There you go.
What about somatostatin there, Mike?
Somatostatin, that is the D cell, isn't it?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I'm going to save everybody else.
Secretin's
ass. Because I think the thing is at the end of the day, you have to be able to understand why you're doing it. And I think the motivation for that can come from the challenges and the questions that you ask yourself is, can I do this? Is this worth it? Is this what I want? And every time you're able to answer that question again, like what I've said earlier, you're able to strengthen your conviction and the thing that's going to get you through those bad nights.
And you'll have fun time to do things as well. Like just saying, like, we just had med prom last weekend and that was a lot of fun.
We have social life. Well, we have lives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when the exam's coming around, like, we have an exam coming up. We have two exams coming up pretty soon. Like, we're pretty bogged down right now, I would say. But, like, you still have time to do things in life and all that. But, like, that prom was a blast. We all got to go out. We all got to hang out. We all got to dress up for not a standardized patient for once in our life. I spilled wine on DeYoung's girlfriend by accident.
It was a good time. I think she was an accomplice in that. Don't worry, it's not on you.
I don't think
Emily, if you're listening, just remember what he just said.
Come get me.
I texted her the next day and was like, Emily, I feel so bad. I didn't mean to do that. Like, I hope you don't hate my guts. And she was like, you're too nice. I didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, I hope you're not lying to me.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Is like, for all the crap that you do have to wade through, I mean, look at the three of us. Like, we all met in med school. Like, I can say that I also, like what we were just talking about, I met my girlfriend in med school. Like, there are very good things that come with all the responsibility, all the stuff. And like, these are friendships that are going to last forever without a doubt. And I think that's, there's a part of the process when you,
I didn't sign up for that.
But like, even in your pre-med circles, I got,
I'm still so close with all my pre-med friends.
Absolutely. Because you guys have struggled through it. You know, it's like the band of brothers. You guys have gone through it. And that is not to say that anything that we do is anywhere close to what the men and women in the military go through. But
thank you for your service. We're making a lot of really bad like comparisons to there. We have to be just saying.
Just a little disclaimers there.
Might just actually own his nurses.
But you'll form bonds, you'll form connections, and again, the physicians that you look to for mentorship and the medical students that you look to for mentorship have all gone through this, and they have no doubt.
Want you to get through it.
Yeah, and they can remember the people that were like, oh, they helped me. So
yeah, I mean, it makes it a lot easier when you have like your pre-med friends that are all want to go through the same thing, because then it feels normal. Like what we do in school right now feels normal because I'm not at home with all my buddies that get off on their 9 to 5 and go. I know you don't have this benefit. You still have to hang out with all your friends. But like, it feels normal to me to do the things that we're doing. Even though when I go home, I tell people what we do, they're like, "What?"
Yeah. I didn't have any pre-med friends, so this is really nice to have somebody in my class that is struggling through the same thing that I am, because a lot of my friends were education majors, so they had no idea about science.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it. I think we've beat this thing down a lot. The major point is, for me at least, go explore. Go see different things. Keep it on the back burner if you're having a hard time with it right now, because I feel like it's hard to pick it back up once you've left it. But when you decide to make the choice, whatever it is, if you decide you want to become a physician and go to medical school, if you decide you want to be a monster truck driver, or you want to be a pharmacist, or you want to be a teacher, or whatever it is you decide, commit to it. You have to make a choice at some point in your life. That is just something that's inevitable throughout the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Be ready to make it, and when you make it, pick it and be happy with it, and know that you gave it everything you had, and this is the choice that you decided based on all the information that you had.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the point, is like, make sure it's an informed decision, because you don't want to just smile through the pain.
Yep.
You want to be able to understand what you're getting into. You need to understand why you're doing it, and you need to understand the rewards that you'll have someday when you get to the end of it, because that, like we've said before, is the motivation that can get you through any long night of studying, any hard times, because you know what the end game is, you know what the goal is, and if it's for that servitude to other people that are sick.
And trust your gut. If it doesn't feel right, it might not be right.
Yep.
Just do what you feel, whatever makes you happy.
Yep. Contemplation, not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's last for me.
So we very much appreciate the email and the question that we received. Like, and we encourage anyone else that's listening to please send in more if you guys have questions. And there's no question that is, you guys have all heard this, there's no question that's a bad question. We will literally talk about if you ask whether or not, you know,
I like whales or I like elephants.
Exactly. We really appreciate the feedback that we've been getting on the podcasts that have been released so far. And we really appreciate you guys for listening.
Yeah. Keep coming back, guys. We really appreciate it. We like hearing from you. DM us on the Instagram. It's up and running. We've got all those pictures up now. We appreciate those of you that are liking it. Any of you that are listening that were in my HCC mentoring group that have liked that so far, greatly appreciate it. You guys are way ahead of the game.
All right.
Well, nothing.
For three guys in a white coat, this is Matt signing off.
This is Mike signing off.
And this is also Matt signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.